Yes, this morning, old man. I just want to take off where Ross ended last week. I think it was in a great sermon that Ross preached. The six truths of spiritual growth. Where's this one going? Six truths of spiritual growth. This morning, what I want to share with you is I want to look at the importance of spiritual growth. The last song, the last song he gave us, singing this, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Or mere for either can do. What can I do? What we say is we say, I stand with heart surrendered, with my arms high. That's true. But there's more than you, what you and me can do to extend the kingdom of God. To see the kingdom of God be birthed within us, to see the glory of God, not just only within us, but also in the world that's done. Amen. So when I have a book and I'm going to say, okay, what is the belangrijkheid van geestelijke groei? Vanmorgen. We gaan dan maar naar die volgende en naar die gaan. So die eerste slide in ons daar is, ons is, Christ is returning soon. I think the last time that I preached within this church, and I said that there's something that what we need to do is, as a church and as a people of God, what we need to do is we need to continually remind ourselves that Jesus is returning. When last did we hear a sermon in the church about Christ's returning? And one thing we understand is the more we talk about something, the more we are aware of it. The less we talk of it, the less aware we are of it. So this morning, I want to say that Christ is returning. Christ is returning. What are we doing as the church? Wat ek en jy as die kerk van Christus om die woord van God te versprei? Nou, ons allemaal denk dat dit altijd een missie is. Is het een missie? That it's always a mission that we always need to go out there. But let me tell you something that the Word of God says to us, that the kingdom starts within us first. Then as it grows within us, as God cleanses us from the inside out, it starts reaching our neighbors. Well, let's firstly go to our family. Then from our family, we'll go to our neighbors. Now, ons beheerman. En van daar af kan ons ingaan en kan ons begin kyk dat ons stad moet affecteer of een impak hê in ons stad. Daarna moet ons kyk en so met die grens die hele tyd skat en groei. Wat doen ek nie? Jesus is op pad. We need to grow spiritually, not just for ourselves, but for others too. And I want you to understand this morning that if we don't grow spiritually, if you and me, if we don't grow spiritually, we will not create platform in our lives for God to move. It is important that we grow spiritually. It is important because if we do not, what are we doing? Spiritual growth builds platforms for the Holy Spirit to manifest the glory of God passing through us, as I just said. We need to understand that we are in partnership, and I don't like the word partnership, but we are in partnership with God. And God is relying upon us, as you'll see just now. God is relying upon us to build ourselves up in the Spirit so that we can be His hands and His feet so that we can manifest His glory. We are chosen vessels that God is using to manifest His glory. And all that we need to do is we just need to go and look. Was we going to come back in the Old Testament? Was come from Kate Hunter as well? I hope for me here. What's an analogy? God die Oud Testament die vir Israel gebruik en wat het
Jesus gedoen?
Om die woord te verkondig, heel eenvoudig. Om vir mense te wys wie hy is, sodat wat die mense aan Israel kyk, sal hulle God se glorie, God se heiligheid sien en God se geregtigheid sien. In die Nuwe Testament sien ons wie? Sien ons die kerk. Ons verstaan uit die profetiese visie van Shofar hierdie jaar is wat God se glorie op God se building.
ons verstaan dat ek, soos ek het verstaan, wil ek, verstaan ek dat Ras sê, ons moet kyk op ons geestelike, ons persoonlike geestelike groei, wat belangrik is, en ek dink is 'n goeie basis vir ons, waar ek mee begin, om vanaf te begin. En dit beteken dat ek en jy is die kerk, in die Nuwe Testament, ons vervang nie Israel nie. We are not replacing Israel. That's a false doctrine. We are not replacing Israel. God is covenant with Israel and he still needs to perform. But for this dispensation period of grace, the church is being used. Jy en ek gaan gebruik word, word gebruik, moet gebruik word, so dat die koninkryk van God kan wat? Groot word. So dat God sy huis kan bou. Nou ons verstaan vandag, is dat my God sê, hy bou sy huis, is dit nie 'n muur nie. Dit is nie bakstene nie, dit is nie pleister nie, dit is lewende wesels, lewende stene, dit is Christus, mense. En wanneer God daarna kyk, kyk hy na jou en hy kyk na my, en hy sê vir jou, hy sê vir my, luister, ek wil jou gebruik, my Gees is in jou, Johannes. En dit wil sê, ek wil jou gebruik, so dat ek my glorie nie net in jou kan manifesteer nie, maar soos ek my glorie in jou manifesteer, dat mense op jou kan sien, dat jy 'n kind van my is. En so sien ons dit in Israel, soos Israel vir God gevolg het, soos wat Israel, dit is my Jesus. Gehoorsaam was aan God. Soos wat Israel gehoorsaam was aan God, het die mense om hulle raak gesien en meeste van die mense gelukkig nie gekom. Baie min van die mense was aangebroke en opsig gekom. Meeste van die mense het verstaan, maar daar was mense wat hierdie heiligheid en regtigheid van God gesien het en van hulle het oorbeweeg en gesê, ek wil die God van Israel voor. En so kom het precies die selfde na jou en my toe, want ek en jy in die wereld rondstap, al omdat jy jouself bevind van week op week, dag op dag, beteken dit dat jy sal iets hier binnenkant jou uit. Of jy gaan vlees uitstraal, of jy gaan die Gees van God uitstraal. En die enigste manier om die Gees van God uit te straal, so dat jy aan aantrekker, so dat jy vir die wereld daar buiten, is dat die geest op die groei van Christus. Because it's not you who love Christ, but who loves you. The day when you decided to follow Jesus, you decided to come under the lordship of Christ, you will never, ever, 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 ever saved to only go and enjoy eternity in heaven. To have a full reward of salvation, you need to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ first. We are the chosen vessels that God is using to manifest His power. Spiritual growth weekend. Net van dat Ras verlede week het gepraat en die eerste punt wat hy gesê het is, it does not mean fable. Spiritual growth has a clear goal. Spiritual growth is mystical yet measurable. Requires deliberate effort. It's God's work and there's a lot to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at each one point. What's the time?
10:55.
I've got time until?
All four.
Alright, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at each little point we can go on. So let's have a look. Spiritual growth, point one, does not earn favor. We're going to read Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16. Who's got their word? Who's got their Bibles? The reason why I didn't put it up is it's just too much. It was last week to feel. It was last week to feel. Yes, sir. So, if anybody is at the year, you can put more in the book from, is it Matthias? 20. And whatever we miss, that comes from verse 10 to verse 16 to yes, my goal, hey, so she did not consider that I said the key word. The stable word also is guns and not reward. I understand that the story that Jesus is speaking about is about the war, but I want you to see something different. I want you to see the heart of God.
Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went up early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, anywhere in scripture where you see for the kingdom of heaven is like, it says it is a spiritual truth. As it is written, so you can make, or you can be very sure it is like that in heaven. So what Christ is saying, open up your ears, be attentive to what I'm saying, because what I'm telling you now, it is so in heaven. Verse 2. Now when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? Verse 7. They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his stewards, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. So we understand when we read this portion of scripture, we understand that we are all equal in the eyes of God. Irrespective of who gets saved first, last, right at the 11th hour, we all will receive the reward, eternal life. But what I want you to see is not that. What I want you to see is this. Is as we say that spiritual growth has got no favor with God, if we grow in favor with God, if we grow in spirit, if we develop our spiritual growth, we need to understand exactly what Ross said last week. God is no respecter of no man. No respecter of no man. So when you come in at the last, at the 10th, at the 9th, whatever hour, I want to say to you now that regarding your spiritual growth, we are all equal before God. Irrespective, where I am a pastor but irrespective of what your title is, if you are a pastor, yes, in God's hierarchy, structure, organogram, yes, we understand that people are in authority. But what I mean with spiritual growth, it doesn't mean suddenly I know the word more than what Marshall will know the word. It means that God will place you higher. You understand what I'm saying? Did you see it through the story that we just read? God sees everyone equal, irrespective of how hard you work, how long the hours you put in. When you stand before Him one day, we are all the same. Amen? Spiritual growth produces in you. What is spiritual growth? What will it produce in you? Because we read in the previous, in the previous couple of scriptures, in the last couple of verses, what do we mean? We heard that there's laboring, there's hard work to build your spiritual growth. And praise God that He is not a God that favors, But what does spiritual growth do? What does it produce in you?
It produces firstly obedience to the word.
It produces faith.
It produces work.
We understand that we all quote this portion of scripture where it says, where is your faith without works? And your works without faith? Do we actually know what we're doing? You see, because we have absolutely, we can't have faith and have no works, and we can't have any works without any faith. Why? Why do we say that? Because if we want to do a work, it will require faith. And it's not faith like, okay, guess what I'm going to do. It's a deep-rooted faith knowing who God is. If God says, I am, when you exercise this faith, you will know that He is who He says He is. And it will produce works. When you look at something, nothing will be too big. Why? Because you know who your God is. And when you do your work, it will not be for your own gratification. It will not be for here's JJ, great stuff. Look at the work that I have accomplished. It's not what we're saying. It will always be to the glory and the honor of God. You know what? Throughout the last month, I can't remember where I read this or where I heard this, but what I loved about it was what Pastor said. He says that we need to, and it's in context with Scripture where it says, I need to decrease and Christ needs to increase. But this Pastor says that I need to move away. I need to become invisible. And Christ needs to become visible. This is what spiritual growth does to us. Spiritual growth produces discernment of good and evil. Hebrews 5. Die meer tyd wat jy in die teenwoordigheid van Jesus van die wêreld, hoe meer tyd jy in die doktrine van Christology spandeer, hoe vinniger sal jy ryk dat dit sin maak. Hoe vinniger sal jy in 'n posisie of in 'n sirkumstansie. En omstandighede instap en jy sal daar aan kyk en jy sal sê, weet jy wat, daar is meer instap. Of weet jy wat, hier is goed. It produces the sin of things. The truth of the matter is that spiritual growth does earn you reward, but not favor. And yes, the truth of the matter is that spiritual growth does earn you reward. It's scriptural. Why? Because the day when we die, we understand the word says that we might not receive our reward now, but the day that we stand before Christ, that will be the day that we will receive our reward. Again, in Corinthians, it's also added to Corinthians 3, down comes to the Corinthians. Basel alles praat hoe die Here in ons sisteem, maar hy sê daar's ons net een fondasie wat gebou word, en dit net opgebou word, en dit is die fondasie van Christus. En dan daarna sê ons, hy sê 'n paar van ons gaan miskien bou met hout, met stof en wat is die ander een? Wood, hay, and straw, whatever it is. And the others will make precious stones for. And it will be tested by fire. It's not speaking about your salvation, but it's speaking about your reward that you will one day receive. So you will not gain favor with God, but you will most definitely receive or earn the reward of His kingdom. Point one. So it's all for yourself and bless. Alright, means that the mens will be near smart. Spiritual growth has a clear goal. Begin to change us from the inside out. Remain evolve. Remain evolve. Verse 10. Well, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Spiritual growth has got to be involved. It needs to change you from the inside out, so that you can live your life holy. That you will live your life as a sacrifice unto God. Jesus gave it all to you, so guess what? You need to give your life to Christ. We need to daily spend time in the Word. We need to push away the former things of the world. And what do we need to do? We need to daily transform our minds. How do you renew your mind? You don't get up in the morning and go look in this mirror and say, yes, oh, yes, a prophet is here, but nothing yet could be us. But nothing yet, others have been, but nothing yet. Then this thing wants to do, you know, it's the stony words that are mysterious. There's nothing good dwelling within us. The only thing that's good in you and me is what? It's a story. And what we need to do is we need to feel it. What's the item? Crusty. You're going to be crusty. What's the right on? And how do we do that? By taking the Word of God, opening up the Word of God, reading it, and allowing the truth to renew your mind daily. He who controls the mind controls the body. And the truth will set you free. The truth of God, the truth, the Word of God will change your mindset. And the more you are changed from the inside, the more the glory of God will be manifested in you outside. Point two, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 15. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. And in Greeks, transformed is metamorpho. Metamorphosis. That is what's taking place within us, from the flesh going more into the spirit, or becoming more Christ-like. The glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So spiritual growth has got a clear goal to transform you from one image to another image. It is to transform you from your former state, from the flesh, into who? Christ-likeness. Point three, become like Christ. Point four, destroy the work of the flesh and to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. I love this one. Turn to Galatians, Colossians, faith. And hopefully, spiritual growth has got a goal to destroy the work of the flesh and to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To grow in the Spirit, to grow in the spiritual life, means you will not fulfill the lusts and the desires of your flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, I love it, but if you are led. So we're not always there. So if you are there, that means it's effort. You need to make sure that you are daily led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh, these are works. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, goodness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, there is also hope in the Spirit. There's a clear goal, friends. Church, there's a clear goal of the Spirit of God wants you to do. If we grow within our spiritual walk in Christ, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what we will do is we will cultivate. That is how the concept of medicine. You see, really is something to start and to queer. Ons moet die vrug van die Gees kweek in ons. Hy sê van lees in Galasiërs 4 sê hy sê daar sou is vrug. Nou ons almal weet dat as jy 'n boom of as jy 'n boom of as jy 'n appelboom of as jy 'n perseboom of as jy 'n vrye boom in wil hê moet jy saadjie in die grond ingooi en jy moet hom kweek. Jy moet hom kyk en hom voer en al daai goed wat hom doen totdat wat kom in die seisoen kom wat hy vrug gaan dra. En wanneer hy daai vrug dra, dan geniet hy dit. Dit is exactly dieselfde, is presies dieselfde met jou en met my. Die dag dat die saad van God in ons geval het, het hy dit planted on fertile soil. To grow spiritually, you need to cultivate the seed that Christ has given you. Dit is goed like a amen. Amen. We need to cultivate it. Ons moet vas hou. Ons moet we need to protect it. At any cost. Any cost. En as we cultivate the seed, soos dat ons hierdie saadjie waarde gee, en kos produseer dit in ons spiritual maturity. Dat is geestelike
volwassenheid.
Hier is seën, soos dat ek en jy wat stap en werk ons dan in sosiale omgewing, om kringe rondstap, kan mense sien wat dit vir ons beteken. Ons kan sien dat die Heilige Gees doen en ons kan sien dat ons liefde het, dat ons joy het, dat ons vrede het, dat ons langsuffering, kindness, goedness, faithfulness en al die. En weet jy wat in ons doen met alles wat normaal is, wat is? Hier is hierdie ou sonder, hy is 'n positiewe ou. Ek hou van hierdie ou. Ek wil nie vir ons as ek nou Gert, ek wil graag stuiks van hier met jou. Want ek kan al daardie vrugte in jou lewe sien. Hoe kry jy dit? Wat het jy gedoen om dit te kry? En dit is wat ons moet uitstraal. Jy loop daai oomblik. Hier is maar. Verstaan jy? So die Heilige Gees in om geestelik te groei, gaan hy spesifiek wees. Hy weet wat hy wil bereik. Want as ek en jy die vlees lewe, dan stink ons. Hemel, as ek en jy in die vlees, sal ryk ons soos die woord sê, we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and those who are busy perishing. Nummer 5. Spiritual growth is not a key goal. It's building relationship with God and man. I love it. It's building relationship with God and man. The more I spend time in the Word of God, the more I will know God. And the more I know God, the more I will know how important people are to God. Why? Because God created man in His own image and His likeness, their relationship. God has never created man to die the second death. And therefore, whatever hurts God's heart will go down with God. Whatever is priority to God will be priority to us. And may I say this? Mag ek dit sê, dat wanneer dit nie so is, dan ken ons nie ons God. Dan ken ons nie God. Ons dink ons God. Ons ken God. Punt 6. The clear goal in spiritual growth is to fulfill the commission of Christ. Ek en jy, as 'n skaper, ek en jy, moet sê dat ek en jy, is wedergebore deur die bloed van Christus, nie om 'n lekker tyd te hê. Ons is wedergebore om hierdie goeie nuus aan 'n wêreld te verkondig wat teen jou kan staan en jou sê: "Nie een van die disippels het 'n lekker tyd gehad nie." Lees die boek van Paulus. Dan lees ons dit. Kyk na die disippels. Kyk na al ons kerkvaders wat voor dit, wat voor ons was, en kyk na hulle lewens. Dit was hard gewees. Daar was mense wat gebrand was, daar was mense wat geslaan is, daar was mense wat allerlei charge.
Punt 3. Our spiritual growth is measurable.
How is it measurable?
The word says, by your fruits you will be known. By your fruits you will be known. And by your faith and by your works.
What did the Bible say in Johannes? John. That was John. Johannes. Johannes' faith.
Hier is 'n baie bekende gedeelte in Skrif.
Ek verstaan hier is alles wat eers gevoel. Ons kyk in Hoofstuk.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That is why, that it may be more. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and downward. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. To grow in your spiritual growth is to bear fruit. And you cannot bear fruit unless you are in the vine. And who is the vine? Jesus the Christ. By your faith and works, go read. Make it your study note. Make it right. To go and read. What does it mean by faith and works? How am I measurable within my growth within Christ? Or with my spiritual growth? Point 4 requires deliberate effort. Now this is a difficult one, because as a pastor, normally when I go and do some house visits, and normally when there's a couple of, and there are some really good events in here, it's just a little mother sitting and nicer, and weird and reasons, all that sort. And I remember that 3 weeks of fraud, the sex of the fraud, and nice, and we should install the bank, and we should have the best of it. It's one of the bank. And 1% of the years, I'm saying, yes, I'm getting that, but it's been so good, that cutting the fire there. Why is he my friend? What's the song? I understand the case. Do my promise. And I will ask this. It requires effort. It is not always needed. It is in makkelijk. From Al-Qadar. The Bible of the Mark can come with. Or the Bible of the Mandeer's group. And it appears the other of the finger. It's a weird thing. And then there's a woman said that to grow spiritually, it will be deliberate effort. It will cost you something. It will cost you your time. It's going to cost you. Go into your closet and close the door and go and pray. Matthew 6:5-6. Pause once again. Thank you. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may have been seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What does it say? It says, listen. There comes a time when you need to let go of everything around you. You need to make a decision, a deliberate decision, and say, I'm leaving all these things. I'm walking and I'm going. I'm going to close my door and I'm going to make time. which a lot of us don't have.
But it takes effort. We need to be delivered.
Point two, Christ calling us daily to his banqueting table. Turn with me to Luke 14, and this is important. This one is a shock. And it's important that we understand this because this speaks to the majority of the church, not this church. Verse 15 to 24, it's quite a lot of scripture, but it's good to read the word. It says, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave great supper invited and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and must go and see to it. I ask you to have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test it. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. And bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper. What do we see? We see that there are people already being invited. They have been invited. It means we as the church of Christ, we have already been saved. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And every morning, out the pulpit, out the arm, out the mirror, bow them in yourself with food. Say, Jesus, Spirit, there is a banqueting table. I want to meet with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to grow you. I go, hey, may it be the king. But I must offer students. I must offer students. I must offer students. I must offer students. Is not geldig. Jesus said to us that certain men say to us, or certain men said to Christ, said to this person, who is calling them to the banqueting table, excuse me, please, you know me, please excuse me. You know, I just bought a piece of land. And you know it. I see the word, I see it. And I can show you, I can't even make it come up with me. One, at least, certainly, I need to go and attend to it. Then you know, I can show you, I can't even know where you're going to come in, I can't even I've just bought 5 oxen. I can only read the word that needs to work. I can only read the gentleman's evil. I can only read a word of work, one book of work. I can show that I can't even have a hand for me. I can buy a meal longer than that. Jesus, as yet. We had even a woman in and I was scoffing that he said. When he even said, I've just married a wife. I mean, no, I was not there. I was in the assembly. I can't even have a word. But this is what it says. This person comes to Christ, or to the servant, and he says, I've just married my wife, I need to go and attend to her. Tell him, please, excuse me. Who put my bones in the bag? See, that was from many souls, 8. Who put my bones say that was from many souls, killers, owns of God, their owns of like this one here, their owns of the bird, their owns of all this thing. This is my word that he did. The word of Christmas. And to grow spiritually, it will deliberately take an effort from you. Yeah, if I can say it, and it's young, Christmas is every year. He says, om met jou tyd te spandeer, so dat ek geleer geeste kan groei, so dat ek die koninkryk kan sien kom, gaan ek my lewe neer lê.
This is what it means, so that the Lordship of Christ rewards our obedience. And when we call upon the Lordship of Christ to rule over us, guess what happens in the church? We mes na jy gedink en hulle sê, Dirk, jy is 'n Ou Testamentiese boerprofeet man. Ek is nou in die Nuwe Testament. Ek het vryheid in Christus. You believe too much in the law. If we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, everything that matters to us takes second place. And the kingdom and God's purposes place first in us. So you require to grow spiritually will require a lot of it to lay down a lot of self-personal reigns. Point 3, it says, run the race to beat our bodies, our flesh, into submission. 1 Corinthians 9, turn to that. Let's go and read that. It's interesting stuff. This. Is it not me? Made mine. Hello? Vind jy hier interessant wees? Hulle maak nie op. Vers 24 tot 27 sê ons die volgende. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, nor as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have punished others, myself should become his foe. There's effort, there's hard work growing your spiritual man. Point 5. We almost finished. That's teamwork. Teamwork between who? Teamwork between you and God, first of all. And second, teamwork between you and your fellow man. Why between you and God and not God and you? Because Christ has done everything. God has already done it. The teamwork needs to come from, I need to work together with God. I need to come under the Lordship of God, Christ. I need to surrender myself unto Him so that His purposes and will be what? Will be accomplished. So that His rule, reign, and His command and His purposes will flow out. Once I am fully immersed in Christ, it will be the overflow of that what Christ has given to me. It will be the overflow that the people around me will see. And therefore I can work together with Dirk, work together with Dale, work together with everyone around me. And for what purpose? The purpose is to see His kingdom come. For to manifest His glory in us and through us. As soon as I am in the presence of Christ, and I overflow it, what do we see happen in our life? We see the presence of the Spirit, where we can build one another up, where we can encourage one another, where we can teach one another, and where we can get accountable to one another. If you don't grow spiritually, you will be a lone ranger, and you will be lawless, and you will be against that which God has set before you. We see in Scripture that God doesn't send only Paul out. He doesn't just send one man out, but God clearly instructs. God, two by two. In conclusion, spiritual growth is essential as we will see the kingdom of God come in our own lives and in the lives of others. We need to come under the Lordship of Christ to grow spiritually equals obedience. Praise Him. Christ does not require you and of me as the church for us to sacrifice our lives. But He requires of us obedience. If you do not obey Him, God will obey you. Because you are following a sense of falseness.
not a sense, it is false. If we cannot bend the knee, and if we cannot obey, rather than point three, my heart and mind not renewed daily will become the enemy of God. I'm going to repeat. Our heart and mind not renewed daily will become an enemy of God. The scripture says that my flesh wars against God. Church, let us not give up. Let us not despair. Let us hold fast to that Christ has called us to and entrusted us with. Church, Christ is returning soon. How is your spiritual growth? Let me stay. Father, we can say thank you for your word. Father, we say thank you that your word comes to set us free, to build into our lives. Father, we want to say thank you that you are walking with us with regards to our spiritual growth, the importance thereof, the truth thereof. And Father, my prayer, our prayer this morning, Lord God, is that we will bring the necessary adjustments in our lives to grow in you. Father, for our own well-being, but also for the sake of others around us. Lord, so that we will see your glory be manifested not just in us, but outwardly, so that we will see salvation, that we will hear people confess the lordship of Jesus Christ in a broken and fallen world, that we will see the hope of Christ being glorified, and that we will be part in building your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I pray that as all our eyes are closed and as our hearts are vulnerable before you, I pray and I ask that you will come, that you will come deep, that you will come to serve and serve us, that you will come and remove that needs to be removed, and that our eyes will see its truth for who we are. Lord, our desire this morning is to grow in you. Is to grow in you. We just want to say thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. So thank you that you don't throw us away and that you don't grow. We want to say thank you that we become stagnant, that you still beckon us, that you still draw us closer. We want to say thank you for your undying and failing love that calls us, that beckons us to you. We say thank you that you are a God who restores and a God that heals. We worship you and we say thank you for this time that we have spent in your presence, in worship, in prayer, and through your word. We honor you and you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you.